And we're continuing on in our lessons in Philippians 4. But we also want to read from the book of Acts. Because what we find in the book of Acts is exactly where we are in today's church. And being Pentecost Sunday, you know, churches have personalities. Right? Churches have what? Personalities. And the personality of a church is really the joining of pretty much the personalities of the people. That's not too hard to figure out, is it? No. How the people are as they come together, how we are inside, as we are matured, or just how we are as a person. Churches have personalities. You've been in churches that, you know, they're kind of cold. They're a little bit standoffish. Or they might seem a little high and mighty. You have churches that, you know, you can walk in and walk out. Nobody talks to you. You go to visit a church, and like when you come and visit Green Spring, you walk in and you walk out, and you've been talked to, you've been hugged, you've been held and enjoyed being in the house of the Lord. That's Green Spring, right? Don't you ever let go of that. It is true. People say it. People don't come to a church, for the most part, stay at a church because of who's standing in the pulpit, or rather behind the pulpit. But it's because of how they are received by the body, what they experience by the body, the family. So always be ready and willing to move outside your little box and risk losing your seat position to someone else, you know, because you went over to the other side or you saw some new faces here, or someone hasn't been here for a while and you're taking care of love business, all right? There's still plenty of places to sit. So to take care of each other. And that's what we got. And so a happy church, a friendly church. In our text in Philippians, where we are, has much to suggest in a couple of verses how we are to be as a church family. It is like really church 101. It's church family 101. It's being, I wasn't going to use this word, but I'm going to use it. And then we'll get it put together. I think you'll get it, you know. Christianity, we can get that right. It's who you are in Christ and how you live in Christ and obeying the Word, obeying the Holy Spirit in your life. Christianity, your life, you've been born again in Christ and you're pressing on and maturing in the Lord. Christianity, you're not a Christian unless you've been born again. It's just where it is. All right, you may think you're a Christian. A person may try to act like a Christian, but you ain't a Christian until you trust Jesus. That's it. And so, then coming right alongside that is this word. We'll just call it churchianity. Say that. Yeah, it comes out of Phil's dictionary. Churchianity. It is hand and glove of Christianity. Of biblical anity. The Lord in your life, the body of Christ, the love of Jesus, the power of the Spirit of God, as we all continue to daily fight that self be laid in the dust, that I will do the living will of God. And especially as we come to church, we let our junk out there. And we're always happy. We're always happy. Sometimes happier, more so some Sundays than other Sundays. Some days more so than other days. You know, God is happy. He's happy. He is happy. He's holy, just, right, and true. He is happy. Christian, where do you get your happiness? The joy comes from the Lord, and so does your happiness. Your happiness in Christ. Now, reading from the book of Acts, and you know the passage so well in chapter 3. This is when the promise of Jesus was fulfilled. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. It was about 100 of them. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them, rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you know, that is the coming of the Holy Ghost. As the Holy Spirit made his entrance into that house where they were gathered, sent by Jesus, you know, I marvel at these things. When it was time for Jesus to leave, the eternal Word, to leave heaven and come to earth, and by the Spirit of God was impregnated into Mary's womb. And now all his life ministry is completed. He ascended back 10 days ago, right? On Ascension Day. And he said to the disciples, I will send the Holy Spirit. You know, should you marvel at the Godhead as it works? You know how they talk, and they're in perfect harmony and unity and oneness, all three of them, all the time, and each fulfilling their roles. And here comes the Holy Ghost now. And so we would slide to the end of the chapter. Okay, Peter's preaching. You know, all these go out of the upper room, and they're speaking in all these different languages because there was all these nations had gathered in Jerusalem. So 3,000 souls were saved that day. It was amazing. Now, we come here to the close of this chapter, and what was read here. Now, this is the church. Church has begun on the day of Pentecost. And they devoted themselves, the church devoted themselves to the apostles. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on verse 42. Yeah. What verse? Here we go. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the proceeds to everyone as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor now with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily, day by day, those who were being saved. Wow, this is a church. And so church is made up of people, right? You got that, right? And people can be people, right? And you get the drift when I say that. Mm-hmm. So what has happened here? There's been a little trouble in the camp. Now remember, Paul is addressing this marvelous, beautiful church that he loves so dear, just so dear. The church at Philippi. Now, we spent a number of weeks on chapter 4, verse 1, and we continue on about standing fast and firm in the Lord, standing here. Now, he says, therefore, my brothers, verse 1, whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Now, I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. There's trouble. There's a rift. There's a disagreement. It must be rather sharp. they're laboring for him, for the Lord, coming alongside Paul, and there's trouble. Now he says, I ask you, church, also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose name are in the book of life. I mean, we come right down to where the rubber meets the road, and we as yet, we haven't yet been completed. We're still in all in the sanctifying process. We still have old me in me, and we're battled not only in ourselves against me, that our wills will be subject to the Spirit of God, to the will of God, but then sometimes problems come in. It's because of me. Me. Whether it's my opinion or it's my matter or my disagreement, my refusal, whatever. When there's a problem, whether it's in the church or it's at home, between two individuals somewhere, it's always about me versus you, you versus me. It's always about me. When me gets his head raised, there's going to be trouble in any relationship. It's me. And when me expects of the other one, there's going to be more trouble, right? Amen. Thank you. Praise Jesus. It's all me. Now, he goes right on. I mean, he can right on right down to the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Number one, the pastor. I don't like to talk about myself. I don't. You know that. But there are instructions right here for the pastor. Paul, what a beautiful pastor he was. A strong man. The pastor. And he pastored many churches that he had planted and took care of them. The church needs to be and must be highly esteemed by their pastor. Jesus said through the apostle, shepherd the flock of God, over which I have made you overseer. You know, I remember back 22 years ago and the calling for me to be your pastor. And yet, as Peter says, the flock over which God has made you overseer. And what God was establishing, God has wanted established for me to come here. And in our meeting, you affirmed it and said, please come. In the same way for me, God says, please go. And me says, please go. And whatever that entailed. The church, I grieve for any church that their pastor does not highly esteem them. Love them, care for them, no matter the mess, no matter the rejoicings, in the good, in the bad, in the hurt, in the pain, in the celebrations, everything, the Lord. And these are like strong words that Paul uses. He uses the church, my longed for. He yearned for Philippi. He wasn't there. He says, oh, do I miss you? I want to be with you. I want to be there. And your pastor misses you when you're not here. I miss you through the week. I can't be with everybody through the week. And at times I really fail to get where I need to be to serve you. To care for you, to weep when you're weeping, to rejoice when you're rejoicing, to hurt when you're hurting, just to be part of your life and exemplify that. And your dear pastor's wifey, she said, she really helps keep me on track. Did you call here? Shouldn't you go there? Did you take care of this? Yeah. So his words, they are just so devout. My dearly beloved brethren, I yearn for you. And now here we are in this cyber world that we are, and this internet explosion, and for the pastor to still stay the shepherd, keeping connect with his flock. Always. And know that as what Paul says here, these words, this is my heart for you. I hope you know that. To shepherd you, to feed you, to nourish you with a personal touch that you will experience and know. Capital N, capital K, capital N, capital O, capital W. Know Christ. Not me. Christ. The Lord. Shepherding. You know, the shepherd seeks to know his sheep. You know, like in Psalm 23, we read that and how they would bring the sheep in for the night and in the fold, and how he would touch them and feel all over them. And I don't think you want me just, you know, checking you all over to see if you have bugs or creepy crawly things down in your fur that I got to pick out. But he knows his sheep. He knows them. This dairyman, he knew his cows, the personality of the cows, about where they should be in their line. Of cows are very much a creature of habit. They all have different personalities. Some were kind, some were careful, really produced. Some would just as soon kick your head off sometimes. They all had personalities. He knew them. This Lord knows his sheep. Seek to know the sheep. There's a value of such an elongated and long-term love relationship that we have shared, and how the face of the church has changed. Yeah, mine has changed. And anyway, and so we know each other. And it's the beauty of it. In holding little babies 22 years ago, and now look where you are. And it's a wonderful thing. Moving on, and so the pressing on in Christ and feeding you the soundness of God's word that you digest and you nourish it and you'll grow and you will reproduce, just as we see here, just as you pour love into other people's lives, reproducing yourself, so to say, reproducing Christ in others. It's Christ through you. The Lord Jesus Christ, and just loving you, and so that you will grow up and love the Lord. Because knowing, and I think of this often, and as the word says, knowing that I will give a stricter account to the Lord for how I shepherded you, how I taught you, how I strive just to keep you in the right path. And that's why the word says, James says, not many of you should probably come in to be a teacher, because you will give a stricter account to the Lord on the day of judgment. And thou knowest how deeply I love the word, right? To feed you as a shepherd feeds his flock. Good green grass, that you may drink of the Spirit of God. And strengthened, and to know that even then, in the darkest of times of your life, the shepherd is with me. Not my pastor, he's praying for me, but the shepherd is with me. He must increase, I must continually decrease. It's about Jesus, and always Jesus. There's Jesus. We come and connect with each other, and it's Christ, the Lord. My joy, and this is like, when he says, my joy, my crown. He was proud of the church at Philippi, using it carefully, just so full of joy and gladness and pride for how you serve the Lord, how you forgive and love each other and care for each other and serve the Lord. And it just brings a great joy. So Paul's passionate desire was for their highest good, and that you should stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. In His truths, in His doctrines. But you must also, you got to stand fast in His love. And when you're standing fast, it is love. His love is the beat of your heart. Where there is no true, genuine steadfastness in the love of God, it's because there's weakness in standing fast in the truths of God, and therefore, churchianity, the expression of Christian love, which all things in obedience unto the Lord, the expression of love and the obedience of God in your heart as you, the Holy Spirit leads you, this will suffer. It will suffer. And where there is no steadfastness in love, you do not have a powerhouse of love in the body of Christ, seeking one another's good. Good. That's why, as the body of Christ, in our assembly, and then when we go here, we go back as families, as individuals, and we have relationships, we always seek the other's good. And sometimes some little riffies come in there, doesn't it? And we work through it. It's me. Watch old me. Right? Me. Put him down. And reach. Okay? Now, how should members act? Well, we already talked about that. Spiritual steadfastness, spiritual firmness. But now we've got a problem here with these two. Now, he doesn't say divide the camp and see which one takes sides and get in little corners and gossip about it and figure it out and pick a little, jeep, jeep, jeep. Yep, you know? And do that. Get on the phone. Yeah. Do the texting. No. He calls them really to prayer. He says, now you get these two back together again. Come on, church. Help them, he says. Help them. Help them. Now, you just think about that. Help them. I mean, you're going to come around them. Both of them. Help them to come back together. It's necessary for the body of Christ that the unity. You know, Paul had many women that helped him in his charge. And he has some of them mentioned here. You know, he's Euodias and those that he had. You go to Romans chapter 16. I was going to read that this morning, but time does not permit that at all. But here in Romans 16, you got Phoebe and Priscilla, Aquila, Mary, Tryphena, Tryposa, Persis, and it goes on. And it speaks in there of men as well. That whole chapter 16 of Romans, about the body of Christ, helping and serving the Lord and one another. And, you know, but for some reason they had fallen out, and we got to know that unity is essential to the health of the brotherhood. Essential. Thirdly, he talks here in verse number 4 about religious happiness. It's happiness. He says, I call you to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Be happy that you're a Christian. Are you happy as a Christian? And clap your hands. There we go. Yeah. You're happy you're a Christian. I sure hope you are. Journey ain't easy. That's for sure. But you're happy because you know. It was all said and done here. You know. Woo-hoo. Rejoicing in the Lord. Happy in the Lord. John 10:10. Now here's where this comes from. In John 10:10, he says, I am come that you may have life. Happiness. That's the word. Ha-ha. That you may have life. Happiness. And that you will have it more abundantly. Meaning God's fullness. Jesus came, Calvary's cross, rose from the dead, sends the Holy Spirit that you may enjoy, know and enjoy the abundance of the fullness of a happy God, the Lord. That's why he says, I've come that you would know what real life is. And real life is not, he says, in the abundance of things, but in Christ. Life. And he says, you may have life as God has it. And I truly believe in all my little old heart that when we get to heaven, there's something very, very special about God the Father in our life. And a relationship, because he says, I will be to you as your father, you will be to me as my children. Now it is all by faith in the Spirit of God making this so real in us, because Jesus accomplishes great work for us. But oh, when faith becomes sight, there's a nearness with God the Father that, whoa, wow, you ain't going to want to miss it. But make ready for it. Because it's the abundance that you may have life to the full, that your Bible may say. It's all about the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Godhead. Jesus said, as you see me, you see the Father. Now it's Christ in me, the Holy Spirit there. And so more and more like the Father. And that's what it's going to be. I can't wait, but I have to wait. What about you? Are you ready to be there? Yeah, you are. Come on. When you eat, drink, sleep, Jesus, show him forth, the Lord. This is why he says in Colossians 3:3, he says, now that you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, because your life is hidden with Christ in God, God the Father. Your life is hidden in Christ, his righteousness in God. And your whole journey is about being more like Christ, to be more like and to know your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father. And that should just be the joy and the happiness of your life, because that, my friend, is what life is all about. That's what it's all about. That is life, to know Christ and to make him known. God is happy. Christ is happy. The Holy Spirit is happy. And when things crush our happiness, we have the joy that can never be taken away. And we can press on in this old world, and the world cannot take away Jesus from us. Never. Because we know one day, as the song goes, every pain, every scar, every hurt in my heart will be gone. Gone. And will rest the joy of the Lord. It almost seems like it might just be as, it's just as wrong for a Christian to not be happy as it is for him to disobey the Word of God. And things in life steal away our happiness. Keep the focus in the Lord. Let your moderation be known to all men. Moderation known to all. Let Jesus shine through. And when something happens, things happen, when enemies assail you and you don't really feel very happy at all, take that to the Lord. And seek to abide by his will and do what the Word tells you to do, and that joy will feed your happiness. It will feed your happiness. And you'll rejoice in the Lord. How should members act to each other? Bear you one another's burdens. right here. Church, bear the burdens of these two and pray over them. Rejoice in each one on one another. Rejoicing as well as hurting alongside each other. Praying for the enemies. Members, the church, do you realize, church, that you were joined by the blood of Jesus into the empire of the kingdom of Christ? All over the world today, there are sinners coming to Christ. Their names are being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are now part of the kingdom of God, this great empire of Jesus. And you, Christian, and I, we are a part of that. He says here, those names, because he says, the Lord is at hand. He's at hand. He talks about whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. The Lord is at hand. His nearness, his coming is just that close. The events of the world show that. The evil that is so wretched splashes it all over the news with all the blood and the gore, the wickedness, the perversion of in this world of homosexuality and lesbianism is just pretty much taking control of things. And even though we're in a fight now that's freshened up about the sanctity of the unborn, praying that this comes on through these sacred little lives made in the image of God. And when a man, a husband, or a father and a mother, the man, the woman, either one say, it's about my life, it's not about that baby. You know today that is not of God. And no man has the right to sit on an unborn life. Just the same way to sit on the life of one who cannot speak anymore because they have become an invalid and in an aged way and just euthanize them. No. No man has a right on this. At times in our society and in our life, justice demands it. That's different. But the beauty of the Lord, He is at hand. Look at all these battles that are going on. And to those who mock and sneer at the word of God, God says, I will have my day with you when you stand before me. And if that don't shake you to your shoes, then you're going to know, you should know that just how cold and wretched your heart really is. And we stand before the Lord one day. And when you and I, Christians, stand before Jesus, you're not going to be standing there and all proud, fool, look what I did. No. It's going to boom, face down. Let's praise God for the blood. Praise God for the blood over me. When my works are judged, my soul, my salvation and my soul will never be judged. Because Jesus took care of that for me on Calvary's cross. Up there, Calvary's cross. And by faith, I trust Jesus. He took my justice that I may go free. And whom the Son sets free shall be free. What? Indeed. For the Lord. The members who were joined into the kingdom of God, their names are in the book of life. John writes, I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, from whose his presence the earth and the fled. The earth and the sky, they fled away. No place was found for them. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. And then another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. The sea gave up its dead who were in it. Death and hell gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged. And each one of them, according to what they had done, in death, in hell, were thrown into the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, so were they. The books. God keeping the books. When the unsaved stand before Christ at the great white throne judgment of God, the book will be opened of their works. Find his name, find her name. What's her works? What's her life? Tell me about her life. Tell me about his life. Well, they did this, they did that. They were, you know, very gracious with their life, or they were a scoundrel. They were a whoremonger. What do we got here? What good did they do? Oh, there's some good here. Yeah, they gave some money into the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. They went and visited a few. They were kind to their neighbor. Or you may have a life that just establishes this powerful foundation that serves so many people. Okay, now, the other book. The book of life? Yes, the book of life. Is their name in the book of life? No, Lord. No, Lord. It doesn't matter what's written over here in these other books. It's only that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life. And it is the Lord himself who writes your name in the Lamb's book of life. And the only reason you're in heaven, Christian, is because your name was written in the Lamb's book of life. That's it. Because you trusted Jesus. Only that the name is written in the book of life. Is the name there? Search again. Is there name there? No, Lord. And the Lord will say, go. But I did this, I did that. Go. For by grace you were saved through faith alone. Christ alone. So there's no room even for you, prideful Christian, to boast in what you've done. Because then back at the other judgment where you and I, Christian, will stand in the judgment of our works, our life, anything that we hold to in a prideful way wasn't done for the kingdom of God, and that will burn up. It's gone. Wood, hay, stubble. Only what's what done for Christ, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, will be there to bless us when we stand before Christ at the day of the Lord. The books are open. You see, the end. The end. Finalizes all things. It finalizes all things. The end. And there's going to be an end one day. It's done. It's over. And those who know not Christ into everlasting shame, punishment, hell, the searing conscience, the gnawing worm, the darkness, the blackness, the brimstone, the awfulness, the ugliness. There is no way to describe it in a human language how horrible, horrible hell is. Whereas all that stand before Christ at the Bema seat are the redeemed. The works will be judged as to what kind they were, but our soul never will be. Because in the hour and moment of opportunity here, we gave our heart and life, our soul to Jesus, that he took my punishment, he took my wrath, he took my hell, he took my justice, and by faith, I trust Jesus. He is sufficient for me. For me. So he calls to the church You whose names are written in the book, help each other, love each other, care for one another. And when there's a problem, wherever there's people, there's going to be what? Problems. Yeah. You help each other. People, problems, prayers, power. This is the Holy Spirit at work, keeping your mind where it needs to be. In that is always on the truth of God into the lives of people. Into Christians, when there's a disagreement, when there's a problem or what have you, or when sin has taken them down the wrong path, it's about the truth of God in prayer, and then you engage and you come alongside and you help them. It has taken the power of the gospel out to a lost world who needs Jesus. Because until they come to Christ, they will stand at the great white throne. And there's no hope for them. There is no hope for them. Their soul will not annihilate. They will not go into a purgatory and where they'll be chastised in heat for a while until they're purified. No. Today is a day of salvation. And once a person dies, all opportunities to come to Christ, to grow in Christ, to serve Christ, once a person dies, that's it. And then there's the judgment. It is appointed by God for man once to die, and after this is the judgment. The book of life. Is your name in the book of life? Is your name in the book of life? So all, I'm going to call Wanda this week, and she'll check, see if my name's written back here in the registry of the Green Spring First Church of God. That's not the question. The question is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the question. And there's only one way for it there. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Lord, the book of life. So he closes here. We'll close with verse 6. We must close. And he says, the Lord is at hand, but don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we ask the question, how should church 101 people, how should church members, how should we be? We should be prayerful all the time. It's a life of prayer. You're with the Lord all the time. And he says, don't worry about anything. I'm the Lord. I'll take care of all things. The Lord is at hand. And always be thankful. Always be thankful. There should not be a day go by that you're not thanking the Lord for something. That first thing, when you wake up, and you're still here to enjoy your family, or whatever. Thank you, Lord, another day. Yeah. Philippians 4. And these first couple verses, that's how Christians should be. How we all should be. The Lord Jesus. Oh, God bless his love on you all. On you all. We're all citizens of heaven that are born again in Christ. The church of the firstborn, Hebrews says. What's that mean? Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. And all that are his have placed their faith and trust in him. And so therefore, the church of the firstborn. Dear Father, we come to church with a myriad of stuff and things in our hearts and in our minds. We come to church and sometimes some things may not be well between any two, brothers or sisters, and you call us to take care of that. You call us to come alongside always. You call us to bless each other, love each other. Your word tells us we're to build each other up, not tear each other down. But it's the truth of God in our hearts. It's the truth of God. And when we yield and when we obey, we bow to the truth of God. Oh, how blessed and happy our lives are. Help us to know that, Holy Spirit. Put that in our hearts and maybe be branded deep in our hearts. And your love just pulse every beat. Pulse Christ. Pulse Christ. His word, his truth, his love. Forgive us, Father. We fail that so many times. Praise you, God. For the blood of Jesus, the book of life, the cross, the Holy Spirit leading us onward. To be a Christly man, a Christly woman, a Christly teenager, a Christly boy, a Christly girl, and to live at till the day you call home. We love you, Jesus. Help us to love you more. Holy Spirit, we plead you, help us to love Jesus more. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen.